The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is the ABC method of evangelism used widely in gospel tracts and in child evangelism a good method? Stay tuned, we'll talk about it. This is the Grace Evangelical Society's podcast and radio ministry called Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us today. Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin will be along in just a moment to answer this question. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information and to register, go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including how to contact us for more about the seminary. That's faithalone.org. And find seminary in our navigation menu. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin.
Steve, I think you have a question from, who is it, Rick?
Yeah, a fellow named Rick. He says, I noticed that many of the churches today are using the so-called, quote, the ABCs to salvation tracts. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. C, call upon him to save you. Also known as Romans 10:13, to call upon him. And then he says, we need to warn people about this tract. I wish you would put it up on your website, some kind of warning, etc. We probably can't do that for every false teaching out there. What do you want to say about this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you, Rick. Basically, what I'd like to say is there are two good things about this ABC approach. Number one, it's very simple. It's clever. It's simple. And number two, it's very memorable. A, B, C. The bad part of it, the bad news, is that the A, B, C does not correspond to John 3:16 or John 5:24 or Ephesians 2:8-9 or Revelation 22:17. This is a man-made saving message. Admitting you're a sinner is not something that we find in Scripture. You're going to be saved if you admit you're a sinner. We don't even find this as a condition of being saved. Yeah. Obviously, when people believe in Christ for everlasting life, they recognize they're sinners. But admitting you're a sinner to God or to the evangelist is not a condition of everlasting life.
No.
Secondly, what's the B? Believing in what?
In this case, it's believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, of course, you and I have heard presentations that are ABCs, and they might say believe in Jesus for the promise of eternal life, or they might not. They might say some other B.
Most of the Bs I've seen are believing in the deity, death, and resurrection of Christ, or the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
The sad news is, whatever that is, that's not enough. That's step two of three steps.
Yeah.
And we know from, for example, John 3:16, that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life.
Yeah.
So if you want a simpler approach, it's B.
Bob, what I would like to comment on is right after the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, do you know what the very next thing is the Lord talks about?
No.
The prescription for building the altar. Make me an altar of stone. You shall not build it of hewn stone, for if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, lest your nakedness be exposed. One day I was in Zane's office. We were talking. He said, Steve, there are no steps involved in the gospel. You know, we talk about it's as simple as 1, 2, 3 or ABC. If we think of the altar maybe as typological of the gospel, it carries the message, if you will, then there are no steps to it. One either believes it or he doesn't. There's not an ABC or a 1, 2, 3. And I think you were great to just say B.
Yeah.
Believe in the Lord Jesus for the promise of everlasting life.
Okay, now what's the C in the ABC according to Rick?
In this one, and this is where I've heard it all over the board, but this particular track says, call upon him to save you.
And something about commit?
It doesn't have commit here, but I've heard commit before.
I've heard commit a lot.
And one time when I was talking to a speaker who used the ABCs, different from this one, He said, yeah, I knew commit is bad, he said, so I just say come home. And then he uses the prodigal son as the example. But then nobody knew how to come home.
Right. Well, the prodigal son's an example of a son who comes back to the father. It's not an unbeliever who's being born again. It's a believer who's coming back to the father.
And it's about repentance, and that's not part of the gospel either.
No.
So it's really terrible to use it, unfortunately.
So this is an example of something that is really not confessing Christ accurately, because what you're doing here is giving a message contrary to John 3:16.
That's right.
If Jesus saw this tract, he would go say what?
Yeah, he would.
He would not be pleased with it. The fact that Jesus' name appears in a tract is a good thing. The fact that his death, burial, and resurrection is mentioned in a tract is a good thing. And the fact that believing is mentioned in a tract is a good thing. But if it's not believing in Jesus for what he promises, which is everlasting life, then what we have is confusion and a false gospel.
That's right. You know, on B, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, there's not one verse in the whole Bible that says believing in his death or his burial or his resurrection is what gives us eternal life.
Right.
And then to call upon him to be saved, that's a great discipleship idea. In Romans 10:14, after 10:13, where it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, i.e. delivered from the present wrath of Romans, that Romans is talking about. But in 10:14, he makes it very clear that calling upon him, epikaleo, is something much more than just believing in him.
And how does he make that clear?
He says, how shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed?
In other words, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not first believed?
Yes, and how shall they believe in him of whom they've not first heard?
They hear first, then they believe.
Yeah, and how shall they hear without a preacher or a
tract
or something?
The preacher comes, and then you hear the preacher.
Exactly. So each one builds upon the other, and so you can't call upon him in the way Romans is talking about for this deliverance from the present wrath without being a believer first.
That's right. That's right. It seems to me there are a lot of well-intentioned tracts that are not accurate. And what we should do is use accurate ones.
Amen.
There's a good one that Bob Bryan and Zane Hodges wrote that we carry. There's a great booklet called the Living Water Booklet, which is the Gospel of John with footnotes. I have a booklet called You Can Be Sure that I think is helpful. We have a number of different sources, but there are many others that have excellent materials, too. You just need to search them out, and you need to be a Berean and only use those things which accurately convey what God teaches.
Amen.
A lot of the preaching and teaching that is evangelistic does more harm than good. It leads people to doubt their salvation, not people to know that they have everlasting life. We need to be clear that what we're sharing is the message that God wants us to share, not some message that's easily memorable.
That's right. And you know, Bob, even in Young Life, when we're sharing the gospel week in and week out, we would do it with stories from the gospels. We've got to be careful because so many of those stories, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are written for different purposes than evangelism.
Right. So we're misusing the stories.
Yeah, sometimes we are. And, you know, we probably need to stick with the Gospel of John. The Living Water is genius, that it's a gospel tract that's just the Gospel of John and a couple of notes in it. And we're leaving it to the person to be willing to read it. Well, just willing to read it is going to help them come to faith.
Yeah, exactly. And why is it that we emphasize the Gospel of John here at Grace and Focus? Why not pick some other book?
It's a great question, because of the 66 books written, it's the only one explicitly written to tell non-believers how to have eternal life. It's in the purpose statement at the end of the book. We say it in almost every session.
Right.
And the purpose statement is, Jesus did many other signs than these, the seven that are written in the Gospel of John, miracles that show he's the Christ to be believed.
Right.
But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing have life in his name.
That's great. And John Niemiec has suggested that that believing you may have life in his name, we probably ought to say by believing we would have life in his name, because it's the means by which obtain the life.
That's
is by believing that he is the Christ. And by the way, this ties in with Martha's confession in John 11:27. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Yeah.
So she understood the Christ, the Son of God, to be the one who guarantees resurrection and everlasting life. Mm-hmm. I think this is an excellent question that Rick has asked about the ABC's tract, and it would be true of any tract. Mm-hmm. A tract is only as good as it mirrors what the Lord told us to share.
Yeah.
We are responsible for what we give to other people to read, what we share with other people.
Yeah.
So let's be clear, because at the judgment seat of Christ, we want the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
You know, Bob, to piggyback on that too, we have some good friends who are wonderful donors. They are very careful to only donate to free grace organizations or free grace ministers.
Yes, that's right. I have so many of you who are listening right now are donors to this ministry, and we appreciate you very much. And you donate only to ministries that are clear on the saving message. And I would like to repeat one thing we've said before. Your number one obligation is to do your fair share in your local church. And only give to this ministry or other ministries if you have excess to give beyond what you need to give to your local church to do your fair share. We're not a church. We're a parachurch ministry. Our aim is to help local churches. So the last thing we want to do is be stealing money from local churches. If you've got extra money, we're delighted if you give it to this ministry, and we're going to use it to proclaim the free gift of everlasting life. Well, thanks, Steve, and thank you, Rick, for the question, and keep
grace
in
focus.
Amen.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including professors, application deadlines, class schedules, and how to contact us for more about the seminary. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, that's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, how does 1 John 3:9 fit into free grace theology and into eternal security? Please join us next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.